Welcome back to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And our guest this week is Chris Blandy from the Blandy's Madeira House. How are you, Chris?
Very good, thanks, Tony.
And we had a very interesting meal with you a couple of years ago where we drank a Madeira with every course, did we not?
That's right.
Yeah. Is that the only thing that is legally permissible on the island of Madeira?
Well, I think people get slightly shocked every time we do a full-blown course with five or six different wines.
Do you mind giving people a little bit of Madeira education?
Yeah, sure. Very, very briefly, Madeira is a fortified wine. It comes from the island of Madeira, which is located off the west coast of Morocco, so in the Atlantic. It's on the same latitude as Bermuda. It's a small subtropical volcanic island, so the soil itself is very rich in organic material and very high in acidity, and it's that acidity which I think has allowed Madeira wine to become as globally well known as it has done. And the first time that we have recorded documents when Madeira wine was exported off the island was actually shortly after discovery. It was discovered in 1419 by the Portuguese, and the first recorded exports were 1485 or 1490. So shortly after discovery, people understanding the potential that Madeira wine had. And it's almost a mistake. When I talk to people about Madeira wine, they get very, very interested about the fact that a lot of people talk about Madeira wine being indestructible, because Madeira wine is made like no other wine in the world. It's during the aging process we actually heat our wines.
That happens sort of through happy accident, did it not?
It did. It did. It was when the ships used to pick up barrels of wine from Madeira to act as ballast in the ships during the era of discovery. So when the English used to go down the West African coast around South Africa and then up to India, they found that having these barrels in ballast in the holds of the ship, after coming back of their year or 2 year long route to India, coming back via Madeira, they delivered the wine back to the producers. And they felt that the wine had actually improved with this time at sea. And a lot of people were questioning at the time, how was that possible? Was it the rocking motion of the wine in these barrels due to the high seas, or was it actually due to something else? And they came to the realization that it was crossing the equator four times, which actually heated up the wine in these barrels, which actually gave the wine more beneficial qualities. And it came to known as the hardy wine that we know today.
Because if you taste Madeira before it's made, the wine that becomes Madeira before it's made, it's super high acidity, crazy firm stuff, is it not?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And it's during this aging process, or the slow, gentle heating process, that we use to make our wines, that transforms these primary aromas. So imagine a fresh green apple. You put the apple into the oven and you cook it slowly for half an hour or 40 minutes, and you take the apple out again. What's happened to the apple? It's the caramelization of the sugars, the loss of the primary aromas, transforming into what we call the tertiary aromas or the Madeira bouquet. And that's very much what's happening to our wine. We're losing all those primary aromas as the water slowly evaporates. We lose on average about 3 to 5% of volume a year. And as the wine concentrates, it gains in intensity, gains in complexity, and transforms those primary aromas to the caramelized Madeira aromas that we know.
We're talking about a super lavish dinner party, and I always think of Madeira as being part of that. And I have I had this realization years ago. I poured an older Madeira from you all, I think a 1922 Malmsey or something like that, in one dining room into glasses. Closed the doors, and then allowed the guests back into the room after about 10 minutes, and it smelled like they walked into some sort of fantasy pastry shop.
Yeah, that's true. And I think the connection between America and Madeira has always been so important. Madeira wine back in the 18th century actually used to represent over 75% of all the wine imported into the U.S. It was Madeira. America was Madeira's market, and Madeira was America's wine. It was
we were colonials, and it was not the most expensive wine in the world, was it?
That's true, and also there was a treaty imposed by the British, typically, stating that all goods imported into the eastern seaboard had to either be used with British vessels or from British ports, and the exception of the rule was Madeira. And so that's why Madeira became so important. And these lavish dinners and lunches that we're doing nowadays was very much a day-to-day occurrence back in, you know, back in the 18th century, 19th century. And it was a wine for the founding fathers. It was a wine hugely important, used to toast the Declaration of Independence, drank bucket loads by George Washington, Thomas Jefferson. Apparently, it was drunk whilst composing the Star Spangled Banner, so hugely important.
By Mr. Key here in Baltimore.
That's correct.
And I know Washington's legend was that he drank a pint of Madeira with his dinner every day.
I can't. Unfortunately, my mind goes down to at least a glass of Madeira every day. I can't do a pint.
Yeah, I think. Well, he was supposed to be a pretty robust man for his time.
Yeah.
Of robust appetite and strong
tall.
Exercise.
He was tall.
Apparently, it was the wooden leg that absorbed the because right. that's about 2/3 of a bottle of Madeira at 20% alcohol.
That's a lot.
That sounds pretty relaxing for the father of our country. And so modern day Madeira, how should people use it? How should people play with Madeira? I often tell people that the most interesting wines, the easiest to keep, the most flexible with a lot of food, if you use it intelligently, is Madeira. So back me up on this.
I think so. One of the big projects that we have currently undergoing is what we call the Glass in Hand project. And it's ultimately getting the wine in front of the consumer and walking them through, educating them, what is Madeira wine? Because ultimately the consumer won't know about Madeira. Madeira is the niche of the niche. It's an extremely rare product, even though it had its importance back in the 18th century. It's an extremely rare product. So nowadays, people need to be educated on what Madeira is. They need to be walked through the four different styles. And we always have to remember that Madeira wine is very much mono-varietal. So a varietal actually represents a style. So you have the four styles, the driest being Sercial, which is a grape grown normally at the high mountains in Madeira. Then you have the medium-dry Verdelho, the medium-rich Boal, and then the rich, most commonly known, Malmsey.
If I were to sort of translate what you're saying by dry, how many grams of residual sugar is there in Sercial?
When you're comparing to normal dry white wines, they actually sound quite rich. You know, when we're talking dry with Sercial, we're actually talking 50 grams per liter.
But the pH is pretty incredible. So the balance of the wine balances out pretty dry.
Yeah, absolutely. It's that acidity that we get from the soil, and also the Sercial is known with a synonym in the north of Portugal as Engenho Cão, which literally means dog strangler. So we have this varietal that produces a bone dry wine and very high levels of acidity.
It's one of those cheery Portuguese nicknames.
Yeah, like one of the many.
So Sercial, oftentimes I've used it when Cindy makes a super rich mushroom soup or something like that. That's exactly the kind of thing that I've often used Sercial for, or a Gambard terrine, or some sort of country pâté, something like that. How would you like to use Sercial?
I personally like to use Sercial at home. I normally have some toasted almonds, very lightly toasted almonds. Have a Sercial slightly chilled as well. So just take it out of the fridge about 15, 20 minutes before serving. Brings out that temperature, makes it a really nice appetizer. But if I really want to shock people, I take them into a Japanese restaurant and I have a plate of sushi, and I give them a nice sashimi of tuna or sashimi of.
I can imagine eel being excellent with Sercial.
Well, the great thing about Madeira is that the acidity within the wine allows you to really push the envelope in terms of weird and wonderful food pairings, and that's why sommeliers and people in the restaurant business, they love Madeira because it does bring them another edge. It does bring them this diversity, which they can shock their customers. They can say, well, you've never tried this wine, but try it now with some smoked eel. Try it now with a terrine. Try it now with some aged Gouda, for example. And people normally get blown away by it.
And how would you use some of the others, the Verdelho or the Boal?
The Verdelho, I love the Verdelho. I had it with some West Coast oysters. We actually did a food pairing, East Coast oysters versus West Coast oysters. in Annapolis, and we used a five-year-old Sertial and a five-year-old Fertilio. And the Sertial actually went very well with the East Coast oysters. It had a slightly more brine in it, and the Verdelho, being a slightly richer Madeira, went fantastic with the West Coast oysters. But you could also use Verdelho for a Vichyssoise soup. And again, Verdelho for me is fantastic with hard cheeses. You know, some aged cheeses, aged hard cheeses goes really well. Onto the medium rich, the Boile, my own personal favorite varietal for me, just it ticks all my boxes when it comes to that balance between the residual sugar and the acidity. And it's a varietal that ages extremely well. A no-brainer for me is foie gras. You have a glass of 10-year-old Boile, slightly chilled again, with a nice dish of foie gras. I think it goes really well together. And then all that, of course, blue cheese. We have a Michelin star restaurant in Madeira, and our chef has come up with this fantastic blue cheese ball wrapped in a dark chocolate coating, which, as you open it up, just melts away, and you have that with a nice 10-year-old Boile. It's absolutely outstanding.
That sounds like sensory overkill. Maybe you should be smoking a big cigar at the same time.
Well, the cigar aficionados, they do like the Madeira diversity. I'm not a big cigar fan myself, but I have tried it, and it does work well. And then, of course, you finish with the rich Malmsey, and the rich Malmsey, again, more of a dessert wine or even an after-dinner drink, a contemplation wine, but you can do anything here with a pecan pie or a dark chocolate brownie, for example. Or, due to the richness in the sugars, you can even have a steak. We tried a steak a couple of days ago in Dallas, and we had it was slightly with some caramelized onions. And you have that with a glass of Malmsey, it works really, really well.
And cardiologists recommend it, obviously. So I'm being smart with you. The thing for me that's most amazing about Madeira is how long they age. And use one of my favorite terms that enables me to have one extra glass of wine, which is contemplation wine.
Yes, I like the contemplation wine too.
So what has been your favorite contemplation older Madeira that you had the chance to taste over the years?
Well, I've been very fortunate. One of the things we pride ourselves in as a family business, we've been doing this for 203 years now, and I'm the seventh generation member to live and work on Madeira and work directly with the company. And it was probably the decision taken over the generations to store back either bottles or even wine stock in barrel of old vintage Madeiras. So fortunately, when it came to 2011 and we are celebrating our bicentennial, we actually managed to find wines in our cellars going back to 1811, which was the date that the company was established. But saying that, every time I take a journalist round the cellars, our oldest wine we have in there is from 1755. It's a Malmsey from 1755, and I always get the age-old question from these clients: how much money would you like to buy all of these old vintage Madeiras? Because they are unique; they are completely unique. And my response to them, and I very much am a firm believer of this, my response to them is that I have to ensure that the next generations are allowed to have access to these wines, and so I'm almost a guardian of these old Madeiras. Saying that, I have, and we have as family, of course, been delving in now and again into these fine old vintages, and I'd say probably the one that stuck out for me is the classic 1920 Boile, which is a really outstanding wine, Boile again being my own favorite varietal. But it's one of those wines that you're drinking and you're almost trying to think what happened in global events at the time. And there's an interesting thing, especially with the U.S. connection. Interesting thing was that it was very much the last nail of the coffin, which almost killed off the Madeira trade, because it was the year that Prohibition started. 1920 was the year that Prohibition started here in the U.S. And that, together with the Russian Revolution beforehand, followed by the First World War, followed then by the Prohibition, the Madeira wine sales almost disappeared off the map. And so the 1920 always had a special place in my heart, because I very much use it nowadays. It's still commercially available, and we still have wine in barrel from 1920. And I use that to try and describe to the American market how important Madeira was to them and how important the American market was to Madeira.
And so the terrible question for you is, what is your other favorite wine that is not Madeira?
My other favorite wine that's not Madeira, well, I'm afraid have to support local producers. I'm a huge fan of Portuguese wines. And of course, being Madeira, we don't have that much access into your chateau from Bordeaux or your Italian wines or your Spanish wines. But I've had a chance to try many chateaus before, but I still always lean back, and my heart, emotional strings always lean back to Portuguese wines. I'd probably have to say the number one wine that I've tasted so far is a Criseia from the Douro region. Absolutely fantastic wine. And it's slowly making inroads here in the US market. I think it's actually just come off with a plus 90 points. So, yeah, I hope it has as much success here in the US as it has done in Portugal.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for coming on the program, Chris. Enjoyed having you.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah. Thank you, Cindy. Great to hear you guys again.
See you.
Hopefully see you out in Madeira soon.
I cannot wait,
yeah,
especially
definitely.
After this winter.
Yeah,
well, thanks so much for listening to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. We enjoyed running through our long and drawn out but fabulous dinner party. And details of the menu and wines will be on the WYPR website on the Foreman & Wolf page. Please email us any questions, foremanwolf@wypr.org, and we'll see you next week.